I want to talk about Jesus just a little bit here. He lived on the earth for 33 years. He is God. He took on human form and spent those 33 years with us, the last three of which were in ministry. And he accomplished a lot of things while he walked the earth. What are some of the things that he did while he was here? Can anybody tell me something? Name something that he did.
He healed the sick.
He healed the sick. True. I'm sorry?
Water into wine.
Turned water into wine. Yes. What else?
Raised the dead.
Anything else? Yes, he loved the unlovable, didn't he? There's so much more that he did. Think about it. Yes, he healed the sick, he raised the dead, he cast out demons, he calmed the raging sea, he walked on water. So many things that he did. He proclaimed truth, he preached, he taught, he confronted evil. And you could go on and on and on. There's so many things written in the Gospels about the things that he did. How many of you would like to do some of those same things? I know I would. Would any of you like to pray and lay hands on the sick and see them recover? Or raise from the dead a loved one? I think we, in our hearts, I think we would all like to be able to be used of God in that way or in some other way. Jesus did so much, and he was an example for us. But there's more to it than that. You can put the first one up. This is from the Gospel of John. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Here, Jesus is telling his disciples. But even beyond that, he who believes in me, he or she, who believes in me, will do the same things, and even greater works. Because he's no longer walking the earth, but he has sent the Holy Spirit to live within us. That is a promise that he has made. These same works will you do if you believe in me. We believe in him to the extent that we get saved, but do we believe in him to the extent that we can do some of these same works? That's part of the issue. Just how much do we believe? But that's a promise. That is what God wants for his people, to be able to go out and do the same things that he did. He was an example to us, not just in the life that he lived, not just in some of the examples he taught about being a good teacher and things of that nature. But no, to do the mighty works of God, that is part of the heritage of the saints. To do the same works that he did. God wants that for us. He wants us to be able to do those things. And other people who do not believe, who do not know God, will be drawn to him. Because of those works, just like when Jesus walked the earth, people saw the things that he did, they heard him speak, the things that he taught, they were drawn to him. They swarmed around him because they wanted what he had and what he had to offer. If we start doing those same things through the power of God, people will swarm around us too. Not that we're anything, but that God is in us and providing for his people and demonstrating his power and his glory. And people will be drawn to that. They'll want that same relationship with God that they would see in us. How do we get to that point of being able to do those same works? How do we get there? Well, next scripture, again from the Gospel of John, this is Jesus speaking in prayer. He says, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That means all of us. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. And I underline this portion. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. God is in us. He has sent his Spirit to live within us. He is wholly invested in us because he has placed his Spirit to dwell within us. God is in us. But to what extent are we in him? To what extent have we invested ourselves in him? Jesus' disciples gave up everything, their livelihood, their belongings, everything, to follow him. Now, I'm not saying Jesus is asking us to give up everything, leave our jobs and empty our bank accounts and everything. It's a matter of the heart, not quite as much our substance, but it's a matter of the heart. Have we left everything, heart-wise, that's in the world? Is God the most important person in our lives? Is he more important than anything? Is he? Have we wholly invested ourselves in him, placed our faith and trust in him to the same extent that he has invested in us? See, what Jesus wants is that we may be one in him, in the Father. Being one means having the same goals, thinking the same way, doing everything in agreement, or are we still stuck in wanting to do our own thing, go our own ways? That's the way the world is. The world doesn't want to be bothered with anything but what the world wants. I think we know a lot of people like that. Self-centered. We're not to be like that. We are to be God-centered, wanting to do his will in all matters. But how many of us do that? How many of us hear that still small voice of the Holy Spirit speaking within us, and then we ignore it because it's not what we want? But you see, that's part of what it means to be one with God. Wanting what he wants. Being obedient to him, because after all, he knows best. He knows what we need. Everything that he does is good and for our benefit, even though it might temporarily be a little uncomfortable or even a little painful. I've used this example many times before. When a soldier goes into the service, or a person goes into the service to become a soldier and they have to go through training camp, it's not a pleasant experience. I know a number of people who have been through it. And depending on the degree of your training and what you're going in for, like there are people that just go in, just become an ordinary soldier, but then there are people who train to be the elite. And their training is a lot tougher. But it's all for their good. It's for their survival. In the same way, the things that we go through are for our benefit, our training, our survival, spiritually speaking, and maybe even physically speaking. But it's all for our benefit. God wants to strengthen us, wants to bring us to the place where we can do these same things that Jesus did. Now maybe you doubt that. Maybe you're not sure. Is that what he really wants for us? And yes, it is. It most definitely is. We need to be more invested in God. Make sure that we are placing him as number one in our lives. And not allowing other things to take away from our relationship with him. When we are wholehearted towards him, these things will happen. God will know then that he can trust us with his power and his glory. And he will give us things to do. Wonderful, wonderful things to do. Amazing things. But when I was thinking about all of this, one thing that came to mind, and I know this was from the Lord. Have you ever seen a tree branch that was partially broken off and still hanging there, still connected to the tree? Have you ever seen one like that? Maybe damaged by a hailstorm or something, but still attached, but not fully. It's still receiving sustenance from the tree trunk, but not as much as it could or should. So what happens to it? It's still alive. It's still bearing fruit, but the fruit that it bears is, it's not as much. And because it's not receiving as much nourishment from the tree trunk, the fruit isn't going to be quite as good as other branches that would produce fruit. We are like those branches. Some of us are a little more broken than others. But the good news is that you don't have to be, or don't have to remain in that condition. We can be healed. It's unfortunate that a lot of people, a lot of believers, and I'm just speaking in general terms, are kind of like that, because they're satisfied with the little that they receive, because they're just kind of hanging in there, not fully attached to the tree trunk, receiving some nourishment, but not as much as God would want them to have. And they're satisfied with that. And that's unfortunate, because God has so much more for each one of us. We need to evaluate ourselves. Am I fully attached to the tree trunk? Am I partially broken off? Am I getting all the nourishment that God wants me to have? Am I growing as a branch? Am I producing fruit? And what kind of fruit am I producing? We all need to do a little of that soul searching, myself included. Because God has so much more for us. I really want to see whether it's us or another church or whatever, do the works that Jesus did. What a glory that would be. What a testimony to God's awesomeness and power and might and goodness to see his people doing these things. Do we desire it? Or is that taking us too far out of our comfort zone? I don't know. I can only answer that for myself. I can't answer it for any of you. But I just want you to understand, God has so much more available to each one of us. I got one last scripture which ties into what I just talked about. Again from John. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You get broken off completely or whatever. You don't get any nourishment from the vine that you're attached to. You can't do anything. It's only from our relationship with him, our abiding with him, can we do anything. The more we abide in him, the more we can do. The more he would enable us to do. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. See, there's the key. We need to be abiding in God, fully invested in him, our hearts toward him completely. Then we can ask anything, and it'll be done for us. Anything at all. Why? Because the things that we desire will be according to his will. And he will gladly acknowledge that and answer those requests and give us what we ask for. It's only as you abide in him and fully invest yourself in him, that your heart is toward him completely, that you would understand what his will is. And because of that abiding, what you want is what he wants. And he'll give you everything that you ask for, including doing the works that he did. Oh, I long to see that in this congregation, in the body of Christ, wherever it's located. And I think the time is coming when we're going to see those things, because time is growing short. You see what's happening in the world. Some of the same things that we've been talking about as we've been studying the book of Revelation. We're in those times. But before he comes back, there is going to be a great awakening, a revival. Many will be brought into the kingdom. And Scripture even tells us that there'll be many great signs and wonders performed in those days. And I think that will help usher in this revival and all the new people coming into the kingdom. So praise God. So, the choice is ours. What are we going to do? Do we want those very things that God has for us, that he desires for us? Or are we just going to say, well, I'm satisfied with where I'm at. I'm satisfied with what I'm getting from God. I don't need any more. I don't want any more. Or are we going to say, Lord, I want it all. All that you have to offer. And I pray that's what each and every one of you wants, because there's nothing like it. God has so much more. And I mentioned this last week. I think I did. Eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. We can't imagine the good things that he has for us. But he will reveal them to us as we draw nearer to him. So praise God. Let's make sure we're abiding in the vine. Let's pray. Father God, we're only scratching the surface of the things that you have for us. We're scratching the surface, seeing the extent to which you love us and the way that you want to bless us. We haven't seen anything yet, as the saying goes, because there is so much more to you, Lord, so much more that you want to do for us and to us and through us. If only we would open ourselves up to you, Lord, and be wholehearted towards you. Help us, Lord, to do that, to desire that, to be that way, to love you with our whole hearts, and to want more of you in our lives, to be one with you as Jesus prayed. Thank you, Lord. May you make it so. In Jesus' name. Amen.